So, anyway, yeah, Pastor, last Wednesday, we had church on Wednesday, not Friday. he talked about endurance, and I went to get his briefcase, take it to his car, and we were just talking about it, and he said, "Well, why don't you preach on that some more this week?" Basically, because of, I started saying, how people don't, for me, I really understand this scripture, like, resonates with me. Let me just go there. Let's read it first so we can all be reminded of what I'm talking about here. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, starting verse 24. It says, remember that in a race, I'm reading out of the NLT, so. Remember that in a race, everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize. You must run in such a way that you will win. All athletes practice strict self-control. They do it to win a prize that will fade away. But we do it for an eternal prize. So I run straight to the goal with purpose in every step. I am not like a boxer who misses his punches. I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should. Otherwise, I fear that after preaching to others, I myself might be disqualified. And it resonates with me because, running and endurance, and I understand it. I can, it just makes sense. And so I'm able to really relate to it, and I was just saying how most people, it's not whether or not you want to be an athlete. Being an athlete doesn't make you a better person or anything, make you more Christian. But for me, disciplining myself and training and having goals, racing and stuff like that, it actually mentally helps me think about my walk with Christ. It says, okay, I can look at my mirror image as like, well, I'm doing this with my body. Am I doing this with my walk with God? And so, we got to talking about that, and he said, well, why don't you talk about that? So that's what I'm going to talk about. I'm going to kind of reiterate what he had already talked about and maybe, add a little here and there if I can. Going back to that scripture, I just kind of want to read some notes that I had put in my Bible before, this was just something I had written down. It says in verse 25, all athletes practice strict self-control. And it said, I wrote down, everyone runs, but you must run to win. And go back to verse 27. It says, I discipline my body. If you don't discipline your body, you'll be disqualified. You won't be able to finish. And so going into that, I kind of want to hit, well, why do we have to have this endurance? What is, the purpose, if I can figure out what all my notes mean. Here we go. So, let's go to 1 Corinthians 13:7, scripture we should all know, hopefully by heart. I'm not going to read the whole thing. I just want to hit verse 7, really. It says, love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance. I like some of the things that the King James says. It says, it's long-suffering, endures all. And we have to, just like what we were reading in chapter 9, how we have to endure. We have to be able to walk in love no matter what. We all know this scripture, and it's sometimes for some of us, it's harder than others, this love thing, this walking in love towards people, because people are hard to love sometimes. They're not easy to get along with, to deal with, but we have to, this is who we are. If we are Christians, Jesus said, the only thing I leave with you is love. That's the one commandment. It says, love your neighbor as yourself. Love each other. And that resonates with every person, no matter who they are, no matter what background they have, no matter where they came from, no matter what. Love will get to the heart of anything in them. And it will break down the things that they've built up and that they've put up to combat anything outside of them. you know, the thing, the insecurities and all that. So we have to walk in that love so that we can minister to Christ. We can minister Christ to them. And then let's go to Matthew 10:22. Try not to over. I wrote down so many scriptures, and I'll try not to over. You know, I've preached on Tuesday nights before. I don't recall ever doing a Friday night. I'm pretty sure it was a Tuesday. And for some reason, it just seems a little more weighty to do this on a Wednesday than a Tuesday. It's just, I don't know, Tuesday night's prayer. I coming here, I wasn't, didn't really feel that nervous or whatever, but I don't know. It just, it's different. Praise God. But we're going to get through. Matthew 10, verse 22. So here's why we have to endure. It says, Jesus is saying this. Am I in the right chapter? Yes. It says, the student shares the teacher's fate. The servant, am I reading the right thing? Oh, I'm in the wrong chapter. I'm reading the wrong, I got to read a different version. NLT sometimes does not read the right way. So let me get to the right place. Everybody else is. Okay. Yeah. And it says, and you will be hated by all for my name's sake. But he who endures to the end will be saved. It says, but he who endures to the end will be saved. Not halfway. You know, I've heard pastors say it 100 times. It's there's a lot of people that start. There's not as many that finish. And so we can't give up halfway. We can't, you know, like Josh was talking about, all this stuff that's been going on. You know, not coming to church for such a long time. You know, they say, I think, it only takes like 3 weeks to develop a habit or something like that. I think it's only 3 weeks. 30 days, yeah. It doesn't take very long. And we were not really going to church for 30 days at least. And it does something to us mentally and to our spirit. Even though we get, you know, we can hear the word, it's not the same. It's like Pastor said, it is not the same as coming together. We see each other. You know, I was talking to somebody, I don't remember who, but you know, when Pastor stands up here and he preaches to each of us, we can see who's in the room. And, like, I know, you know, okay, I came to church. I heard what Pastor said. Everybody else in the church knows I heard what Pastor said. So if I go out and I don't act on what he's saying, on the word, on what I heard, what I've been accountable for now, then what does that make me? Am I a hypocrite? Am I one of those that Jesus called snakes and vipers? Am I one of those? Have I disqualified myself? And so that's why it's so important, I think, coming together. You know, it's good. Thank God we have the ability to stream and do things like that in a situation like that. You know, praise God. But I'm so glad to be in the house of God. So back to being able to endure. So we have to be on a door so that we can get to the end. So that we can make it through life. You know, going back to racing. So I probably work out maybe 5 to 6 times a week. And this is not, I'm not trying to brag. I'm just trying to explain to you how I understand what it is that I read and how it becomes so real to me. And I have a training plan. I pay for a coach to help me see, just like we come to church. And we hear Pastor Ronnie. He coaches us. He says, you know what? We get even less, though. I mean, I say we get even less. We get an abundance of information and you know, guidance from Pastor Ronnie on the little bit of time we're here. But we should all be training ourselves every day. You know, this little tidbit that we get from Pastor Ronnie, I say little. I don't mean to belittle what he gives us. But he does not have the time in an hour to say all the things that we need to hear. And it's just like a highlight of all the things that we should be going back and studying out and catching the little notes and be like, oh, I need to go over that. And that's why, you know, I encourage you just like Josh said, it is hard sometimes. We have jobs. But be here as often as you can. It is back to discipline. Our flesh does not want, okay, if you stayed home, what would you do? Maybe you had something to do around the house. Maybe you needed to mow the grass. But in reality, you wouldn't do anything. You would sit around the house with the family. Maybe. So what is so different about this? You know, but for some reason, we put this thing in our head. Well, I got to get up. I got to get ready. I got to go to church. And I got to sit there instead of at home. It's so silly. But that's what we do. And it's just like with, you know, with running. You know, I allot time. Okay, so today I have to do this. And it's going to take this amount of time. And so, well, no matter what, I'm going to do that at some point of the day. But you know what? There's days where it's raining. It's cold. And I don't want to go outside. I mean, I had a few months back, I guess it was, I had a training day that I was training for a long race. And it was a six-hour run. It was a training run. A six-hour training run. That's just stupid. And it really is. I mean, and I'm like, really? The thing is I saw that if I didn't do that then, that at the end, you know, I was training for 24 hours. And so 6 hours really isn't that long. Just like when in our life where we're going through these things that we see, it's like, oh, this is, you know, this is so hard. But are you going to endure to the end? Are you going to be able to get through the end? But, you know, we have to develop that in us. And you know how, just like I talked about having the coach and Pastor Ronnie coaching us, well, and then we go home, you know, my coach gives me something to go over, but I can choose not to do it. I can just, yeah. But if I do it, then it develops me and enables me to do the thing that I've sought out to do. I made a goal, and therefore I can do it if I do these prescribed things. God made it, just, that's why Paul's talking like this, because the Corinthians understood. They were in, you know, the times where there was literally, I think, Rick Renner said, like two arenas near them, very close. And it was really big races running, and that the Olympic, it wasn't Olympics, but it was Olympic-like sports, were extremely big. It was like our football and NASCAR. And, I mean, literally, they did the same thing for their athletes in football that we do for ours. I mean, they were pretty much gods. I mean, things really haven't changed that much. I mean, seriously, they haven't. But the Corinthians understood that they saw how these guys, they trained and they did all this to be able to go out and compete and win. But why can't we do that to our flesh? Why can't we do that in the spirit? You know, Pastor Ronnie a couple weeks ago talked about how not being able to go into the presence of God and sweat. Because that sweat was the things of the filth and the flesh on us. And no, we're not perfect, but you know what? God has sanctified us. I'm going to say all I want to say if I don't, I'm not careful. But let's stop for a second and get another scripture out here. Let's go to, let me just read over some couple other, you know, Matthew 10:22, we just read, it says, enduring to the end. And then Matthew 24:13, you don't have to go there. It says, I'm just summarizing really. It says, they having endured to the end will be saved. Because they endured to the end, that was why they were saved. It is so important to finish. You know, we get stuck on these things in our life that it's like, I just don't know if I can get over this, God. I just don't know if I can get through this. I just don't know how, you know, we're going to pay this bill. I don't know how this. I don't know how that. But God has given us the ability. And the truth is all that doesn't matter. Just like Jesus said, don't worry about these things. I've already provided the way. Our sole concern is love. This one commandment I give you to love. He didn't say this one commandment I give you to go to work. We have to go to work. The Bible says you want to eat, you better work. But we have to love. We have to walk in love. And that means not getting hurt feelings. Long-suffering is suffering long. It's not a little suffering. It's suffering long. It doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter how hard it is. It doesn't matter what you are up against. You can't use your problem as an excuse to not go to church. Not just to not go to church, but to, I was reading, Penny mentioned a book about endurance, or not, the book wasn't about endurance, but there's a chapter in endurance. It's called The Life of Faith. Yeah. Excellent book. And that chapter was, everybody should read that, because it will even, it will ring you in shape real quick, because she is not, she's hard on it. I mean, it is like, wow. She says, you know, one of the things when, if you've developed something, like she said, a ministry or at your work or whatever, you've worked hard to get it to this place, and then you see it come to fruition, and then some, for some whatever reason, somebody else gets the credit. She says, so what did you do? Were you upset? Did you even have a thought of upset? Like, it's not like you even have the, you stop yourself, the opportunity is not even there. You must walk in love 100% of the time. I mean, granted, I know we mess up, but we have to train our brains. We have to renew our minds in this so that this is how we walk. And the reason is, I'm going to jump ahead a little bit, but in if I can find the right scripture. Oh, Second Timothy 2:9. I knew I had it. You know, and talking about that run, that six-hour run back to, I didn't finish the story, but I had to run that 6 hours, and the day that I had to run it, it was not just raining. It was wet, and it was cold. It rained the entire time, and that was hard. That was probably, in some ways, harder than the 24-hour run, because this was just training. There was no prize at the end. There was nobody. There was no finish line you get to go through. There was nothing. It was just, okay, I'm done. Let's do it. Do something tomorrow. You know, there's nothing there. There's no real, the reward is only the benefit of knowing that I did the training for this event. That's the only reward. Just like some things in our life, it's like, this is really hard. This is really long. I don't want to do this. And there's no reward. There's nothing that I see. There's no way I'm going to get done with this, and I'm not going to be any better off. I'm not going to have anything more. I'm not going to get any money. I'm just doing it because it's what God said to do. And that is hard. But we have to, you know, it made it so real to me. I'm sitting there making every step in the rain, and I mean, it hurt, and it was cold, and I'm like, this sucks. I don't want to do this. Why am I doing this? This is stupid. But I was doing it because I knew, because I had a bigger goal. I had a bigger goal. This was just a small thing. Just like Jesus said, you must endure to the end, to the end. So in 2 Timothy, I'm going to read a couple here. It says in chapter 2, verse 3, it says, endure suffering along with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. And as Christ's soldier, do not let yourself become tied up in the affairs of this life, for then you cannot satisfy the one who has enlisted you in his army. Follow the Lord's rules for doing his work, just as an athlete either follows the rules or is disqualified and wins no prize. Hardworking farmers are the first to enjoy the fruit of the labor. Think about what I'm saying. The Lord will give you understanding and all these things. And then later on, in verse 9, which one more verse, it says, and because I preach this good news, I am suffering and have been chained like a criminal, but the word of God cannot be chained. I am willing to endure anything if it will bring salvation and eternal glory in Christ Jesus to those God has chosen. That's it right there. That's it. I am willing to endure anything if it will bring salvation. Anything. That's why we do what we do. Is for so that one person might be saved and not go to hell. I mean, and we don't know how that this little walk in love, this little thing that we've done for somebody, have a good attitude, and you know, we don't accomplish this love without training ourselves in love. Throughout our day, every day, mentally saying, I have to walk in love. I have to walk in love. I can't think like this. I can't talk like this. I can't be like that to that person. I mean, it's not easy. I say it's not easy. That's not true. It is easy if we train ourselves to do so. And that's kind of what, you know, when we were talking, I was talking to Pastor, is this mental, because I train so many times a week, it becomes like this, you think about things differently. You think about, okay, I have to do this, and you just, start being more aware of your body, what you eat, not because you're trying to, you know, lose weight or do whatever, you realize, hey, if I do this, it's going to do this to me. It's going to affect me this way. If I don't get enough sleep, I'm not going to recover well. If I, you know, choose to do this later, it's going to be a lot harder than if I do it early. You know, all these little bitty, you start seeing these little things where you can start to fix and you know, dial it in and get yourself in a better place to where you can do better, just like with God. We have if we don't practice it, if we don't train every day, then we can't see these little areas where we can dial ourselves in to where we can be a true light for God. You know, it's just like a flashlight or something, you know, where you have the broad beam and then you can focus it in to that hard beam. And that's what we can be. Are we going to just be this, you know, fuzzy, warm light that shines around but isn't clear? It's just, oh, they're good people. Or is it going to be to the point where we are able to penetrate into the heart of people and light up the things of hurt and whatever it is in their life that is holding them back from being accepting Christ, from falling into his love? And that's a big responsibility, and I think we take it too lightly. I think we, you know, we take our daily just walk as for Christ too lightly, as trying to minister the love of God. It's not just about, you know, we see loving our spouse, loving the people at church, loving the person that we go to Walmart and see that they aren't doing their job, right. But, you know, all these little things we see that it's just like, what is going on? You know, and God says, these are just training grounds. These are just tests. You know, Pastor Kathy, I've heard her say before, everything's a test. Everything's a test. How are you going to perform? What are you going to do? It's up to you. But that's the key, what Paul said. It's so that we might bring salvation. And then I'm going to go to 2 Thessalonians 3:5, kind of jump back here. What time is it? 6:41. Okay. It's not curfew. It's kind of weird because, you know, it's 6:41, and usually 8:30 is our finish time. So what does that translate? No. what was that? What did I say? 2 Thessalonians. If I can remember, I don't have both hands, so. Somehow it's weird. You're flipping through your Bible, and you can just feel where things are. Like, I don't actually remember where some of the books are, but I just know where they are in my Bible. And if I don't have both hands, it's like, this. There's not enough pages in one hand and too much in the other. And yeah, so anyway, 2 Thessalonians 3:5. Okay. It says, I'll start in verse 4. It says, "And we are confident in the Lord that you are practicing the things we commanded you and that you always will. May the Lord bring you into an ever deeper understanding of the love of God and the endurance that comes from Christ." So we're talking about being able to do all these things, to walk in love. And, you know, like I said, it's not hard. Christ has given us the ability. He's provided a way. He's made it possible. It is not impossible. It may feel impossible to our flesh. It may be hard. It may be extremely difficult. But in our flesh, all those are in our flesh. Just like you know, I was talking about the 6 hours. You know, 6 hours is a long time. But in the scheme of 24, it's not that long. And just like when we go through things in our life, we think, this is so hard. Well, we still got a lot more to go. You can get through this. You know, I've heard Pastor Ronnie say this before. Also, you know, whatever it is, the calamity, the major thing that's going through your life right now, next year, you may not remember it. Most likely you won't, because there's going to be something else. But if we focus on Christ, if we focus on that call of love, if we focus on that and don't allow ourselves to focus on the things that are going on that are distracting us from that, then we can become that beam, that concentrated beam. We can learn to endure. We can be patient. We can walk in love. Rick Renner, one of his favorite words is the word hupomene, I think is how you say it. It's a Greek word. Every time you see the word endurance almost in the entire Bible, it's this word. And he says, I give a kind of a quick definition of what it's, the word is two words. It's hupo and meno. Hupo means underneath something, to be underneath something. Meno is to stay, to abide, remain in one spot, to keep a position, to resolve, to maintain some territory, to resolve the position that you have. This is my spot, and I'm not moving. Just like a soldier's line, you know, it's not quite the same as it used to be, but, you know, they used to fight in lines, and they literally would have a shield wall and so that no one could penetrate that. And that if they held that line, they could keep moving forward into the enemy's territory, and they couldn't get into their ranks, so they couldn't get to the next line, They just kept consuming them. And we have to be able to, they weren't walking through a field when they were doing that. They were walking through swords and spears and everything else, but they held their ground, and they moved forward a little bit, but they moved forward. But they didn't give up. They didn't stop. And so that's just, you know, that's a word that, you know, has stuck with me, is that hupomene, you know, endurance, steadfast. You're able to withstand and stay under anything. Steadfast, consistent, unwavering, unflinching. So just, you know, we have to keep that in our mind when we're going through, when we get to something, it's like, I just don't know if I can do this. I don't know if I can make this. I don't know if I want to do this. Maybe it's not so much hard. Maybe we just don't want to. But you can. You can. You have to say, yes, I can. Body, you're lying. My spirit, you're alive. Yours was control. That's what you're going to do. And that's not, you know, I keep saying it's not easy. It just takes training. It takes training. It takes discipline. Just like Paul said, it says, I discipline my body. I discipline my body so that I might be approved, so that I might show myself approved, so that I might endure to the end, so that I might be able to finish and win the prize. Just like he said, there's only one that wins the prize. Now, I realize that we all have that ability to earn the prize, to be able to rule and reign with Christ, is what he said we would do. But we must fight as though we're fighting for to win. That there's others around us that are, if we don't hurry up and get to the finish, that we're not going to win. And I say hurry up with a, you know, there's no hurrying up in Christ. It's an endurance race. It is not a sprint. It is an endurance. You know, speaking of which, it made me think, I was thinking about that, and I just recently started trying to do this long distance stuff, and before it was a lot more, it seems short to me now, but the workouts are so much shorter. They're so much easier. You know, it's like, oh, I'm done. You know, it might be an hour, and there's just so much more less running that you have to do to keep it up. Just like with the word, if we're trying to just be really short, then if we don't put the word in us a lot, then we're going to peter out before the race is over. We're going to not make it to the end. because we thought we were running a sprint. You know, I saw this meme the other day, and it was a runner's meme, and it was this old guy, are you looking back like this? And the saying was, when the old guy that you passed in the beginning is now passing you, because it was an endurance race. And the truth is, you know, a lot of the younger athletes who try to go out and do endurance races don't realize what it takes. They go out too fast. And the first, you know, 6 hours, they're feeling great. And then 9, 10, 11, and they start slowing down. And that guy that didn't stop, he stayed a consistent slow pace, he passes them. I think my dad told me about I won't go into it, but this guy one time that did that, and he ran. Everybody else stopped at one point, and he just never stopped. He was running so much slower than they were, but he just never stopped. And they would stop and, like, you know, sleep some because it was an extremely long distance. I don't remember what it was. But because he never stopped, he ended up winning. And it's the same thing with God. We can never stop. I don't care what we come up against. We cannot stop. We have to endure, push through, not give up. Just like Rick Renner was, you know, this word, to hold the ground that we have taken. Don't start walking back. Don't start crawfishing because it's hard. Because we, you know, come up against something. So, let's see. I've got a bunch of scriptures. Let me... it says, James, let's turn there real quick. I'll read that. James 1:12. Let's go to, verse 12, I guess so. God blesses the people who patiently endure testing. Afterward, they will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. And remember, no one wants to do wrong ever should, And remember, no one who wants to do wrong should ever say, God is tempting me. God is never tempted to do wrong, and he tempts anyone else. He doesn't tempt anyone else either. Temptation comes from the lure of our own evil desires. These evil desires lead to the evil actions. And actually, I want to read that out of the New King James. I knew something didn't sound right. If I'd read my own notes, maybe we would. Because... Verse 17 reads different. It says, verse 16, do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. That is not the right. Anyway, I don't remember what I was trying to say there. But each one is tempted when he draws away. It is verse 14. I was reading the wrong verse. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. When desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And when it is full grown, brings forth death. So what I was trying to get at is that we... these little temptations to allow ourselves to fall off course, to not want to train. Just like, you know, I said, there's days where, it's raining, or maybe I had a hard day at work, or I got to be at work at, like, 7:30, and I know I'm not going to get done till, 6:30. Well, especially in the wintertime when there's very little daylight, I'm going to be running. I could be running not only in the dark, but if you're running early or late, that means it's most likely colder. So there's all these things that, you know, it's like, ugh, you know, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do it that way. But sometimes you just have to, or you're not going to get it done. And so the thought is, well, especially for me, I'm like, well, I'll do it this evening because I procrastinate terribly. I'm still something I work on to this day. And so you, you know, and I'll put it in the evening, and then, you know, you get home, and it's like, gosh, I don't really want to do this because now I've worked all day, and this is even worse. And just the thought, just like it says, that there's this thought that comes up, temptation to not do, to not endure, to not do whatever it is, to not come to church, to not read our Bible, to not train. And that's how I see it, is it's to not train that day, to not train my body, to not train my spirit man, to not get it in to where today. I have to get it in today. If I don't do it today, then tomorrow is going to be harder. Or I'm going to lose something that I could have gained. Just like I talked about that tweaking, that honing it in to that sharp edge. Pastor Ronnie talked about that, you know, sharpening the knife, you know. And, you know, if anybody ever needs a knife sharpened, ask Pastor Ronnie. He will get that knife so sharp that you better be careful when you get it back, because it will cut you, I promise. But that's what we have to do to our spirit. We have to sharpen it. We have to hone it in so that it will cut and divide the things that between right and wrong, evil and, you know, God. So, and then the last thing I kind of want to hit on is, so we've talked about, you know, running, and one of the other things that you have to do, like I said, you have to sleep. You have to rest. There's a time that you have to take off. You can't just always go. And we always have to endure. The enduring never stops, no matter what. It's kind of weird. It's like, and then there's this thing, like, we call it active recovery, where you're literally doing something, but you're recovering because you're not doing the other thing you were doing. Like, you can go, yeah, you can do a really hard, you can do a bike ride and not run, and technically you're actively recovering. It's something different, and it's using different muscle groups. And that's the thing about, I think it's the same way with, you know, we think, oh, well, I can take a break. I can sit down. I can relax. I can, you know, kind of just lay down, you know. I can eat. I can rest in God. I think I hear that and I think, oh, I can sit in a lazy boy and just lean back. I see Norval Hayes is who I see. I really do. That's what I see. It's just, and, you know, just thinking about God and just, you know, we just lay there. But that's not what it means. Resting in God. Here's something interesting. I mean, let me read how Jesus kind of talks about resting in God. It says in Revelations 3:21. Thank God for different translations, but sometimes you got to keeping them straight in your head is not the easiest. Okay. It says, to him who overcomes, I will grant him to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. Jesus overcame. What did he overcome? The cross. And he didn't just quit his work then. He's still Jesus on the throne. And so we don't just get to sit down and be, you know, for one, his overcoming was the cross. I don't think any of us have had to carry a cross and be nailed to it. And, you know, so anything we're going up against is nothing against what Jesus is talking about. And then he says in 2 Corinthians 4:16, this is Paul, but Jesus, same difference. You probably all know this scripture, but and once again, I need to read the King James. 2 Corinthians. It says, therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for a far more exceeding eternal weight of glory. We do not look at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So we're fighting that again. It's not about what we feel. It's not about what we see. It's about pushing through the things that we, just because we know what that eternal thing is, that goal is eternal. I still have not hit the scripture that I'm looking for. That's what happens when you write too many scriptures down. Okay. Here it is. Matthew 11:29. This is it. Guess what? They're all good because it's the Bible. So we're just going to read scriptures all night long. Okay. Says, this one I know we all have to know, surely. 11:29 says, take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke fits perfectly, and the burden I give you is light. That's some interesting rest. I want you to rest, but I'm going to put this yoke on you, and you're going to rest while wearing the yoke. I don't know if anybody's seen a yoke, but it doesn't look very restful state. Usually it's pulling something, it's heavy, and there's work involved. But God says, Jesus says, if you put mine on, you can rest and work. This is an interesting state, resting and working at the same time. Only possible in the Bible and through Christ. But we can do it. It's not, well, what's amazing is that this thing applies in so many ways in our life that it's not only in our endurance with our walk with God, with our salvation, it's with our job. He will give us the ability to endure through whatever it is we're dealing with, and with people, with customers, with whatever. We can endure through them. He says, take my yoke. It's easy. You can look at these people and smile and walk in love, and nothing bothers you because you took on his yoke. And so it's amazing, we can be enduring, we can be racing, and the whole time be in rest because we put on his yoke. That's amazing. I mean, it really is. And thinking about, you know, running and all that, that's not possible in the body. You can't run and be, you know, at rest. Now, I will say this, there is the ability to, when you've trained yourself to a point, you know, just like, in that race, you know, I've set a goal, I set a pace, I said, I'm going to do this pace for this long, and if I do this, I'll accomplish the goal. Well, I was able to rest in knowing that if I did what was required, I would finish at the desired, you know, finish line, what I wanted to do. Just like with God, he's given us a pace. He's given us a means to make it to the end, like he's required us to do. He says, if you want to be saved, if you want to rule and reign with me, then you must do it this way. Take on my yoke. Just like I think I've already read it earlier, where it says you have to lay aside the weight of this world, the things that we want to do, all the things we get caught up in, all the busyness of life. Lay it aside and live for me and walk with me, and then you can rest. Then you'll be able to endure, to make it to the end, to walk in love, to penetrate people's hearts, to change their lives, like I hope every one of us want to do. Change the lives of others so that we might be that light into them, so that Christ might live in them. And let's see if I had any more I wanted to read here. So, yeah, in talking about the ability to do things. So it says in Romans 8, and then I'll probably kind of bring it down here. This whole, you know, everybody, and we all should just know this chapter, I think, but I mean, I can't say that I can quote it. I know it. You know what I mean? Yes, live it, right. It says, so now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ. Now there is no weight. There is the ability to walk, to be free, to rest. For the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you, has given you rest through Christ Jesus from the power of sin that leads you to death. So you don't have to, it's not going to be hard anymore. It's not going to be, struggling. You're not going to be, walking through mud. The law of Moses could not save us because of our sinful nature, but God put into effect a different plan to save us. He sent his own son in a human body like ours, except that ours is sinful. God destroyed sin's control over us by giving his son as a sacrifice for our sins. He did this so that the requirement of the law would be fully accomplished. Who no longer follow our sinful nature, but instead follow the Spirit. And then in, I wrote down this whole thing, but later on in verse 15, I think it is, it says, I'll start at verse 12. It says, so, dear brothers and sisters, you have no obligation whatsoever to do what your sinful nature urges you to do. You no longer have an obligation to fall into your flesh. You no longer have the justification to just take it easy, to take it easy in the flesh. But you have the ability to take it easy in Christ. But if through the power of the Holy Spirit, you turn from it. Again, the Holy Spirit, there's another one of those tools, I didn't really touch on that, but that he's given us to be free, to walk, to rest, to have that active recovery. And it says, so you should not be like cowering, fearful slaves. You should behave instead like God's very own children, adopted into his family, calling him Father, dear Father. For his Holy Spirit speaks deep in our hearts and tells us that we are God's children. And since we are his children, we will share his treasures forever. For everything God gives to his Son, Christ, is ours too. But if we are to share his glory, we must also share his suffering. So after all that, he says, I've made you free. I've given you the way. But there's still suffering. There's still, he uses the word suffering because we understand it, but in reality, it's only suffering in the flesh. If we rest in his yoke, then it's not suffering. Paul was bonded. He did all these things, but at the same, he was ministering the whole time. He was still working. He was still enduring. He didn't go to prison and be like, well, how am I supposed to minister from prison jail? Prison God. And this was not like the prisons we understand today. You can write a letter. You can have visitors. No, this was, a dungeon, dark, deep, nasty. I can't even imagine. And he's still working. He didn't lay down the pen and say, Timothy, you're going to have to do this one on your own, buddy. I'm sitting here in this prison, and it is nasty, and I can't think about God. Do you see the place I'm in? Do you see how nasty this is, how hard this is, how cold, how wet? All this stuff that was surrounded his flesh. But he said, no, I have a greater call. I have this thing inside of me that I must do because it's going to bring those to salvation. It's going to bring those to Christ so that they also might rule and reign with him, so that I might see them on that day. So, it's not about us. That's the biggest thing. Is love is not about us. And so when we have these hard times, when we have these things, we just have to remember, this isn't about me. This is not a me thing. It's a God thing. This is not a me thing. It's a God thing. All the time. And that's hard. It's a training thing. Again, I don't want to use the word hard because it's not about hard. We use that excuse, I think. We say things are hard, and so therefore we don't do them. Because we've said they are hard. But it's only because we didn't try, because we didn't continue to push. Just like, you know what? In reality, running for an hour, I always tell people that, you know, start running, and they're like, yeah, I only ran like a mile, or I only ran for 10 minutes. I'm like, hey, you did something. You started somewhere. You started. Because so many people don't even start. I mean, just, I said, you know, there's a lot of people that start and don't finish. There's a lot of people that don't even start. Whether, and I don't mean just physically. That's what I understand. And that's how I see, you know, but then you build on that. You don't just do one thing and then stop. You build and you build. That's the thing we have to be careful of, is we think we're still, you know, enduring, when really all we've done is sit down on the couch and endure the rest of our life. Endure the rest of our life. And we're not really gaining any ground in Christ. We're just sitting there. And, you know, we're good Christians. They're not doing anything wrong. But are we going in? Just like he called us soldiers, we go in and take ground. They didn't just stand and guard the city. They took more ground. And so that's what we have to do. That's what God's called us to do, each and every one of us. And it's not just about salvation. I mean, it is about salvation. But, you know, when we walk in this rest and all this thing, like Jesus said, consider, you know, the lilies. Consider the birds, how I take care of them, how they are clothed. Consider them. And if we just stand in that rest, the prosperity, health, all these things that we get stressed out about, that our minds can become bombarded with, my mind can become bombarded with, we aren't thinking about it. Because what are we thinking about? We're thinking about the word. We're thinking about walking in love. We're thinking about, how can I be a better Christian? How can I serve God better? And that's what we have to do. Just like, you know, when running, when you're running for those long period of times, you don't think about how fast you're going, really. You just think about, especially, you know, that was one thing I had to really train myself differently, was time. Run for time and not pace. So you're not, and not miles. You don't think about mileage, because you're just running for, you have to run in a whole hour, or you have to run a whole 6 hours, because eventually you're going to run a whole 24 hours. And so if you're going to do that, you can't no longer think about how far I've gone. I mean, you think about when you're racing, because you have a goal, but that's not the point. It's like, okay, I'm going to make it through this hour, then I'm going to make it through this hour, then I'm going to make it through this hour. Just like with God, I'm going to make it through this day. I'm going to make it through this day. God says every day is made new. He makes every day new. So if we really take that in, today's new. No matter what happened yesterday, no matter how maybe I didn't get as much training as I was supposed to, maybe yesterday's workout was hard and I didn't do as well as I wanted to. In other words, maybe I didn't read the Bible. You know, maybe I just skimmed over it. I didn't get as much out of it as I really needed to get out of it. But today's new. I can do better today. If we will. If we'll just do it. And so we got to endure. We got to cast off the flesh. We got to put it down in submission and do what God has called us to do as a body. Especially in this day. I mean, it's not about being harder. It's about being more needed. Are you going to be able to endure to the end? You know, Jesus talks about there's going to be those that called my name. They said they knew who Jesus was, but they didn't make it. You know, you think about the parables of the virgins. You know, they were all supposed to go, but not all of them were prepared. They were only prepared part of the way, but not the whole way. Just like I, you know, talked about the running out too fast, or just being ready for a short period of time. It's about preparing your mind for the entire length of your life, and saying, I don't know how long I'm going to be on this earth, but as long as I am, I will give every day 100% to you. And you think, well, how can you live 100% to God? It's not like I'm going to go to church, you know, 24 hours a day. Well, the church is, Jesus said that we are the temple. So that's about all I have. I mean, I could go on and on about this. This is really like, I mean, to me, it just speaks so much how we can such persecute our bodies and just not give up. I mean, it takes just right there at the end. It says, so you should not be like cowering, fearful slaves. You're no longer fearful. You're no longer under the law. You no longer have to say it's hard. If you say it's hard, then you haven't read the word. He says rest. He doesn't say it's hard. He says rest. If it's hard, then you need to tweak something. You got to look and say, well, why is it hard to me? Maybe we need to go back and read that love again. Maybe I'm not walking in love like I should, so it's hard. It feels hard because our flesh is like beating up against the word that's inside of us. So praise God. God has given us the ability. We will all endure and we will all make it, and we're all going to be lights. We're all going to be bright lights. And I just speak that over us in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. I'll pray for us, and I guess we'll be dismissed. Lord, I just thank you for all you've done for us. I thank you for this time we've got to spend in your word and just meditate on who you are and how great you are and what you've put inside of each and every one of us. And I just thank you that as we go out tonight, we'll all be safe, protected, and we thank you for health, prosperity, in Jesus' name. Amen. And protect the pastors. Amen.